Welcome to the Compass Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Well, I was kind of in preparing for this morning and leading into the whole kind of vision thing. I was thinking about going down the path of actually exploring what vision is and that clear mental picture of a preferred future and elaborating on that and how we need to have that idea of a clear picture of where we're going and all that kind of thing. And everything we should do should go towards fulfilling and achieving that vision that God's given us as a church community, and the necessity for us to have individual goals and clear directions, because if we aim at nothing, we'll hit it. But if we actually aim for something, we're going to get well and truly there. If we don't get 100% of the way there and get 80% of the way there, it's still better than aiming at nothing. Do you hear what I'm saying? But I didn't want to talk about that because I just thought you've heard it all before, and I didn't want to do one of those rah-rah kind of speeches, but I would rather just, I was struck and reminded by, and I can't believe the songs that Andrew chose this morning, and we didn't actually, what a great job. And thank you, Andrew. We didn't speak during the week, but as we're singing those songs and the theme and the thread and the emphasis of those songs so strongly was a reminder about God's grace and where he's brought us from and or what he saved us from and the wonderful salvation and God's grace in our lives. And that thing where I was trying to articulate, not losing sight of that and the level of gratitude and thanks that we should constantly have for the way that God has saved us and what he's done in our life. You hear what I'm saying? And I think sometimes, especially in our first world, we get so comfortable and just so apathetic and safe. But yet, I want to remind us, and I've sort of like just flowing on from what Andrew kind of led us into this morning, is that, you know, Jesus didn't die so we would just live a comfortable and an apathetic and a mundane existence. You know, God wants us to be provided for and all of those things, but if that's kind of where we think the limit of that is, and as long as I'm safe and as long as my life's going okay, if to me that's just existing. You see, God came that we would have life, and Jesus came that we'd have life and life to the full. And I want to remind us of that this morning, that idea of life that Jesus wants us to have is actually an exciting one, even in the midst of the challenges. And 2015 is going to bring challenges for some of us. Thanks, Pastor Phil, for that word of encouragement. It's life, isn't it? It's not all going to be awesome and fantastic. I wish I could say that, but that's not reality. That's not life. So even in the midst of this year, it's like, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's a season. You know, death itself, but just the problems and the trials and the challenges of life. Yes, some of them are bigger and the season of going through is longer than others, but the promise and the assurance is that he will take us through. And so whatever you are facing or will face, you can have that hope. We have faith for today, but hope for tomorrow. And it's a greater hope. And so we have this idea that, yes, God is wanting us to have life and life to the full, and that what we've experienced so far isn't everything. I mean, I look around this room and there's new people here today and the church, but by God's grace, and he's the one that does this, the church is growing and there's things happening and we've had to move to bigger office space and all of that kind of stuff. And God doesn't want us to stay stagnant. You know, in the reality in God's kingdom, if you're not moving forward, you're going backwards, because the kingdom of God is advancing. And I want us as individuals, but as a church, to be moving forward. That challenge to be growing, to being stretched. And I just want to take a look at a bunch of different scriptures that relate to this. But my devotion this morning, it's a Spurgeon daily devotion that I read, and it talks about, and follow me with this, and talking about this whole process of our journey is ongoing and not forgetting where we've come from and God's grace and blessing in our life. John Bunyan describes it like this. He says, when the poor pilgrim, as in Pilgrim's Progress, when he lost his burden at the cross, he gave three great leaps and went on his way singing, blessed cross, blessed sepulchre, blessed rather be the man that there was put to shame for me. Believer, do you recollect the day when your fetters fell off? Do you remember the place when Jesus met you and said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love? I have blotted out as a cloud thy transgressions, and as thick cloud thy sins. They shall not be mentioned against thee any more. Oh, what a sweet season is that when Jesus takes away the pain of sin. When the Lord first pardoned my sin, I was so joyous that I could scarce refrain from dancing. Does anyone remember that? I mean, for those of you that have experienced maybe the hardships of life and you've come into the saving knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ, the day when the reality of his forgiveness hit home in your life, do you remember that? Do you remember? And for some of us that have been brought up in the safety of Christian homes, we can sometimes lose sight of the significance of the price that Jesus Christ paid for us. And sometimes we've got to force ourselves to go to the cross and say, God, please help me understand the significance of the price that was paid for me. And some of us get way too comfortable with that. And Spurgeon's trying to remind us, let's not lose sight of that and the beauty and the awe and the magnitude of the price that Christ paid. So full was my soul of joy that I wanted tell the street the story of my deliverance. I wanted to tell every snowflake that was falling from heaven of the wondrous love of Jesus, who had blotted out the sins of one of the chief of rebels. But listen to this. But it is not only at the commencement of Christian life that believers have reason for song. As long as they live, they discover cause to sing in the ways of the Lord, and their experience of his constant loving kindness leads them to say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. See to it, brother and sister, that thou magnifiest the Lord this day. Long as we tread this desert land, new mercies shall new songs demand. I love that. Just a great reminder that my relationship with God, it has a start, but there's also a journey. There's also a process of life that we can go through that doesn't have to just stop at the commencement, but there is so much more in God. And I love that challenge. It's such a challenge to me. I brought out a couple of weeks ago out of Ephesians 5:10, just one of those verses that jumped out at me that I hadn't, and it stuck with me so much that I have to elaborate on it this morning. Ephesians 5:10 says, find out what pleases the Lord. There's a responsibility on you. There's a responsibility on me in the context of relationship, because that's how we view it. That's how we view this God thing. It's relationship with God. That he is God. The Holy Spirit is a person that we can get to know. We can grow in our understanding of who he is. So it's a growing in that awareness and finding out what it is that pleases God. Now, there's a bunch of things that please my wife and there's a bunch of things that don't please my wife. Which one do you think I do more of? Don't answer that question. Jeremy and Bianca would probably be able to help me out with that. But we should, if we're in a relationship with somebody we love, we should desire to do more of the things that pleases them. It's not rocket science, is it? And so there's this quest this year, there's this challenge for us this year to find out what pleases God. And in our leadership meetings, in our staff meetings, and when leaders get together, it's not a structured devotion anymore. I want to hear from our leaders and I want us to share how we discovering, being reminded of, maybe getting back to some basics of some of the things that please God. Some of the basics. But if you've got your Bibles, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. I want to go through some scripture that are going to challenge us a little bit about, I guess, a theological or a biblical foundation or understanding of why we should be growing and continuing in our relationship with God, finding out what pleases him. So I'm going to read from the screen because I've got to just check to make sure that my versions are the same. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, here it is, make every effort to supplement or add to your faith. Make every effort. Who likes that word, effort? You know, exercise, effort. You know, you've kind of enjoyed the Christmas season and you want to kind of do something about those few extra kilos and there's, you know, cleanse the liver, go through the process of just, you know, just shedding off the festive cheer. And who thinks it can just happen by sitting around on the couch watching other people exercise? We think that. The reality is, it's not like that. It takes effort. It takes effort. And what does it say? So make every effort. And that word there, effort, actually means diligence. But not just diligence. Attached with that is haste, speed. Get about it. Get on with it. Let's make this happen. Make what happen? Put in effort to what? To supplement or add to your faith, add virtue. To virtue, add knowledge. To your knowledge, add self-control. To self-control, add steadfastness. To steadfastness, godliness. Godliness, brotherly affection. Brotherly affection, love. And listen to this. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten what he's been cleansed from his former sins, forgetting that wonder and awe of who God is. And he says, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling election sure, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. Now, can you go back a screen? So take a look at that list. Who's got them all covered? Who's just all over that list? Go, Phil, done that, I'm down. And I can just tell you right now, they're all increasing in my life. I've got that sorted. Any hands up? My wife does. Nat. You don't live in my house. All right. Because she's got to live with me. That's what I'm saying. Because I help her with a lot of developing a lot of these things in her life. But it's saying in increasing measure that we're called to actually be growing and put in effort. What about the next passage of Scripture? We're going to move to Jude, verses 20 to 24. It says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up in the most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Build yourselves up. That means you've got to actually do something about it. What are your spiritual priorities in 2015? I mean, this morning and next week, we want to pray for you about what your goals and dreams are for this year. And sure, I know that God is interested in every area of our life, our physical, our spiritual, our emotional, our psychological well-being, that God wants us to be whole, complete people. But my responsibility primarily as your pastor is to challenge you about what are your spiritual priorities? How are you going to build yourself up this year? Because I can't do that for you. I mean, part of it is being here, and yes, we want to challenge and give you something to think about and wrestle with and spiritually bench press this week and arm curl this week, and spiritually you're kind of building yourself up with something you can take home. But there's more to it than that. What are your spiritual priorities? What are your spiritual goals this year? How do you want to put in effort this year? How do you want to build yourself up? Because keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by flesh. Do you kind of see that there is like the opportunity for all of us to grow just from these two passages of Scripture? Well, maybe it's just me. I've got so much just in that I could be doing better at. What about the next one? Colossians 2, 6 to 7. Therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. What about the next one in 1 Thessalonians 5, 11 to 12? Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. So who builds you up? I mean, this is one of the reasons we have life groups. So you know, we all know one of the greatest keys for you achieving your goals in life, no matter what they are, is that we are to be accountable. That we should be accountable in what our goals are. So if we have some spiritual goals and we have some spiritual priorities, who's holding us accountable to those spiritual goals? Or are we just a law unto ourselves, which is a very dangerous place to be? I mean, if we don't have somebody that's there to challenge us and hold us accountable to certain things in life, then I think that we won't reach our full potential in life. That's challenging. I know for a fact I would not be the husband, the father, the pastor, the man I am if it wasn't for the accountability that I've had in place for the last 17 years with Artie. Every week we meet for at least an hour or as nearly, I won't say every week because there's weeks we miss, so that'd be a lie. So as many weeks as we possibly can, we meet. And we just challenge each other. And if he doesn't believe me, he rings Nat. And he gets the truth. And he's done that. But I'm not suggesting or proposing to you something that I don't do myself and haven't seen the benefits of. And we're called here to build one another up, to challenge as iron sharpens iron, getting in an environment where we actually have our thinking challenged and learning from one another, building one another up. So we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you, who are over you in the Lord, and admonish you and esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace amongst yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. Can you see anything in there that you can improve on this year? There's going to be people put in your life to develop patience. I may be one of them. See that no one repays anyone for evil, but always seek to do good, so to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Again, there's this thread that I'm trying to actually present to you this morning, that there is the challenge, dare I say the mandate, that we should be growing. We should be growing individually, but we should also be growing corporately. And I won't read out 1 Timothy or Galatians because time's getting away from us. But again, there's just some great challenges and reminders in there that there are areas of our character and our nature of life that we can be growing in. And I think that's a challenge that we just have to take on. All right, I'm going to jump to just one thing. Is that the emphasis in this for me that I see throughout these scriptures is that we're reminded that God brings about the redemptive purpose in our lives, and he's the one that cleanses and purifies and brings us into right relationship with him. And then he doesn't sort of back off and go, you're on your own. But what he does is he gives us his Holy Spirit to partner with so that we can have the ability to see these kind of character changes that we've listed here and the challenges presented before us. We don't have to do it in our own strength, but we're called to partner with the Holy Spirit to see that happen. So it's not just all about you. Now, work out your salvation with fear and trembling because it is his power that is at work within you. So you're not doing it on your own. God doesn't set us up like that, and I take great encouragement from that. So this year, your spiritual priorities. I mean, has anyone heard of the Jim Collins book, Good to Great? Has anyone heard? I mean, there's lots of very different principles throughout that book. One of the little ones that's suggested in there is that it's not just about the organization as a whole looking for improvement, but it's individuals taking the personal responsibility to improve just by a little bit. So if everybody in this room went, you know what, this year I want to actually grow in my relationship, in the level of my spiritual maturity, I want to grow by 5%. But if we all do that collectively, what that will do for the whole. You think about that. You just go, we want to grow as a church. Okay, put your hand up if you would love to see Compass Church have greater influence and effectiveness in the city of Glen Ira. Put your hand up. Great. Cool. All right. Who wants to do the work that's required to see that happen? Okay, a third of the hands. The Pareto principle, 20-80 rule. It's about right. Thank you for your honesty. I appreciate that. But that can't happen. I mean, we've heard here that God is wanting us to mature and he's wanting us to grow as individuals. He's wanting us to become bigger people from the inside out. And that's the emphasis of our church. It's not a big church, it's big people. And so as we grow, but you have to also understand that God's plan and purpose for his church, the church is God with skin, the church is God's expression of himself to this community, is that it would grow. Now, I know some people don't like talking about that because we like it the way it is. We like Compass being small. I know everybody and I know everybody's business. It's like, and as we grow, it's not going to have the same feel. And one of our key focus areas this year aims to actually address that and try to do something about it as we, but by the grace of God, continue to grow. But I just want to throw it out there this morning that I'm about seeing the kingdom of God advance. I'm about people in this community that don't know Jesus having the opportunity at least to hear the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ, at least hearing that message. And that what I get to experience and the joy and the peace and my sorrows and my failings and my mistakes, they could have drowned me. But if it wasn't for God's strength and grace and patience with me, I would hate to think where I'd be right now. And I've had a pretty good life. And there's these people out there that are facing a hell of a lot worse than I ever have or ever will. And I've got this joy and this peace and this amazing God that I want them to experience. I can't keep that to myself. We can't keep that to ourselves. Yeah. I was reminded this last week, just was sitting down with someone, and kind of it was great because coming from a perspective of just coming to faith in Christ in the last few years and coming into Compass, it was like, Phil, you've got to understand what a great church we've got. And I was like, really? She's like, no, really, you have to understand. Like, it's just the people here and what we do and how we go about it. We've got an amazing church. And I'm like, yeah, we've got an amazing church. We do. And I believe God's desire for us is that we share that with our community. And so just as there's that individual responsibility to grow, I believe that we corporately, together as a church family, have the responsibility to see the kingdom of God extended in this community. And that's not all about getting bums on seats at Compass. If it means that we help fill Ormond Anglican to overflowing, let's do it. St. Mary's, Carnegie Church of Christ, let's send 50 people there because we can't contain them here. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not about Compass Church, it's about the kingdom of God and the extension of his kingdom. Taking that responsibility. So for you personally, some ideas about how you can become a bigger person this year, spiritually. Big. The personal disciplines, we know what they are. I don't want to go over them. You know, praying, reading your Bible, being accountable in that sort of stuff is really important. Just actively participating in worship and trying to put aside yourself and getting over yourself and actually looking to the bigness of God so you can get fresh perspective on whatever it is that you're going through. So there's personal disciplines, church and life group, making that priority, 2.77% of your month dedicated to just church attendance and engagement in a life group for a month is 2.77% of your month and as a spiritual priority. And that could be coming to pre-service prayer meetings, coming to Sundays, going to prayer meetings that are on offer, signing up, as you heard this morning, for a life group. And there's some new ones being launched. There's a one for ladies on a Thursday morning that's at 10 a.m. that it's going to be at Robbie's house. And you can sign up for that, ladies, if you're interested in that. There's a new life group starting on Wednesday night if you can't make a Thursday night. So you can sign up for that. And over the next few weeks, you'll hear about other life groups that will be starting up just out of necessity, which is exciting. Maybe it's the pathway of discipleship that you want to do. Maybe it's Alpha that you want to do, the D101 course or the Freedom in Christ or equivalent to Cleansing Streams course that we offer. Maybe baptism's the next step that you want to get baptized in 2015. One of the most remarkable great decisions you can make in your faith journey after committing your life to Christ. Such an exciting step to do. Other ways you can grow this year is start serving, contributing to the needs of others, using the gifts that you've got on the host team, set up pack-up teams, shameless plug for our teams that need help. Reality is, as the church grows, we need more people helping out. And if we're a church family, and if whatever I'm seen as the dad of this church spiritually because I'm the pastor, well, as the kids, there's going to be chores for us all to do. If you want your pocket money, you have to do your chores. All right? And see Michael for your pocket money because I got nothing. So there's stuff that we have to do. Don't worry, if you hang around here long enough, you realise that we're not about sitting around on our butts and just being entertained. That ain't going to happen. All right, so let me just, in the next 5 minutes, present to you the first of, and we'll do the other two next week, for Compass Church, how are we going to grow? And help to see the fulfillment of what God's called us to be and do. And the first thing that we want to focus on this year is community presence. What do we mean by that? It means that we want every family, every individual in this community to know at least that we're here. and that they have the opportunity, as I said, to hear the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. That they at least have the option to opt out. That they don't have to, but at least they know we're here. So many people in this community don't even know there's a church that meets in here. I mean, that saying of if we had to shut down, would anyone know or care? Well, we have the opportunity to do something about that. And so I'm probably quite personally challenged by this because Compass has been going for 7 years. The first 3 to 5 years was us trying to work out who the heck we're supposed to be. You know, church is God with skin. How are we supposed to express ourselves and to be comfortable in that? Now, I'm not really sort of marketing minded, and I've avoided all that marketing advertising stuff because we didn't want other churches to know that we're here. We didn't want Christians to know that we're here. We wanted our community, those that don't know Jesus, to know that we're here. So we're trying to go, if we're going to actually promote ourselves or advertise ourselves to the community, what are we going to advertise? And if you don't know exactly who you're meant to be, how can you advertise who you are? Does that make sense? So I think now that we're more comfortable in our skin and who God's called us to be, what we actually present to our community will be what they get when they walk through the doors. So there's integrity in that process. And so I'm going to use some marketing talk, which I've been learning recently, but our target group, see, Ginger, I have been listening to you. And one of the things we've done for the first time ever in the life of our church is we're working on a marketing strategy. And let me be really clear. Our target group is the unchurched people who don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in this community and within like a 10K radius of where we are. Now, the reality is people move from other churches because they shift, and that's okay. God has reasons for that, and he does that to help bring about support and whatever. I get that, but our focus and our priority, at any one time, we want to be able to look at our church, and 25% of our church has come to faith in Christ in the last 12 months. That's a big call for a church on the emphasis and the motivation for how and why we're going to grow. You think about that for a minute. 100 people, that means in the last 12 months, 25 of those people have come into a first-time relationship with Jesus Christ or have come back from being disillusioned, hurt, bitter, resentful towards church for whatever reasons and actually coming back and re-engaging in a life-changing relationship with Jesus. So that's a big call. That's a big target to reach for, but that's our heart. And so Ginger has generously donated her time and helped a group of us start to put together a marketing strategy that we want to formulate this year and we want to start to implement. And I'm so grateful to Ginger for helping us with this. And I know she's so passionate about our church and loves our church and comes from a perspective of communicating to people who don't have the Christianese thing down pat and don't, you know, that stuff. And she can actually help us communicate in a way that Bob Bentley and Betty Bentley can actually understand. They're just people I made up, by the way, if you're wondering who they are. I haven't met Bob, but who's Bob? Yeah. And just in closing, let me just say this. Probably what has strengthened my resolve in the last few weeks is that one of the things I do outside of my role, I'm 4 days a week for the church, but I do celebrant stuff in the area of funerals in our community. And it's an amazing way to connect with families that are at a point of need that it's a privilege to be invited into. And some of these situations, that they give me some pretty intense situations. And one of which recently was a 21-year-old kid that died of natural causes. Now, this kid, born locally, grew up in Bentley, went to Bentley Primary School, then to Bentley High School, played cricket at Bentley Cricket Club and footy for Bentley. So just a real local family. And he, no drugs, alcohol, had his 21st on the 28th of December, went down to Tasmania to finish his plasterer's apprenticeship, rings his mum and says, "Mum, I'm not feeling great. I'm going to get an early night." So he goes to bed and he doesn't wake up. And this mum and dad, brother and sister, are trying to come to terms with this. And they're not people of faith. They haven't experienced, you know, that love and the peace and the strength and the joy that God has I've been privileged to experience. And so I'm speaking with this family and, you know, just a big funeral and people are asking why, how, as I think are questions you have to ask in times like that. And so I do this funeral, and at the end of the funeral, there's some of the funerals that I do that are pretty intense. I just have to do this. I sat down in the chapel area, and I just started to cry. I just started to weep because, first of all, my heart broke for the family. A mum and dad should never have to bury their child. And this family's trying to deal with this without God in their life. So they're just so empty, and it's just so hard. And then my heart is breaking because here we are as a church in their neighborhood and they don't even know we exist. And I'm not saying Compass Church is the answer for the city of Glen Ira, Melbourne, Australia, the world. We're part of the answer. We're part of God's plan. But yet, as I sat there and I just began to weep for this family and thinking about our responsibility as a church to go into all the world and going into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria and the outermost parts of the world, we have a responsibility to our local community to at least give our community the opportunity to hear the gospel message. And that's not something I take lightly. And coming out of that is just a strengthened resolve to go, I'm not interested in being comfortable. I'm not interested in being safe. We're at a size of a church that the bills get paid. We've got people on staff and there's good things happening. Yeah, great. I'm not dissatisfied with what God has done, but I'm a strong believer that God has got so much more for us to do. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so this idea of community presence, the first time we've ever gone down this avenue, laneway of promoting ourselves, making ourselves known to our community, you've got to hear the heart behind why we're doing it. You know, it's not about getting, building the Compass Church empire. It's not about getting Compass. It's not about Compass. It's about lifting up the name of Jesus Christ and allowing people to be drawn to him and at least giving people the opportunity, or at least, you know what? At least they know that there's a church here that if they need something, they know who to call. And if they never come to our church, if they never sit on one of these chairs, that's okay. We still are called to serve our community and to meet the needs of our community, no strings attached. And we are committed to that. And so part of this community presence and making that a key focus area for this year and get that underway, I think is vital to the mission and the purpose for which God has called us as a church. If you have any questions about that, or the marketing side of things and all those fancy words, see Ginger. But if you want to know the why behind even doing this, I'm happy to chat with anyone about that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Oh God, I just thank you so much for your amazing grace. How sweet the sound has saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Oh Lord, we just thank you for who you are. God, we just thank you for all the wonderful things that you have done in and through this, your church, Compass Church. Anything of so-called success or achievement, effectiveness, it's only but by your grace. You have done it for us. Lord, this morning we look towards 2015 with anticipation, expectation, but with that comes a great responsibility that we don't want to take lightly. We pray, Father, as we pray, God, that our faith and our trust is in you. But God, may we be a people, a church family that you can trust, that you would find faithful, that you would entrust with more of your presence, that you would entrust more people to be cared for and nurtured and discipled and raised up for your kingdom's sake and purpose. So, Father, as we head into 2015, God, we need you. We know something for sure, Lord. We are not perfect and we need your help. So this morning, Father, we commit this area, key focus area, community presence, that you would give us wisdom. Help us, Father God, to just put hope in people's hands. Give them the opportunity to hear that eternity-changing message that can only come through Jesus Christ. To be your hands, your feet. To be light in this community. Help us, God, fulfill what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name I pray.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.